notes, and at the bottom of the back is a section that says prayer requests. We need to keep things moving along. That means that any prayer request you have, go ahead and drop in the same box as your tithes and offerings, those brown wooden boxes. We'll get those, we will pray about those and pray over those throughout the week. They will definitely get attention. Also, sometimes we understand that you have a prayer you really don't want broadcast to the whole church. And that's okay too, because only the pastors will get those. So if you have prayer requests, you can drop them in there. It will be secure. It will not become public knowledge unless you request, but they will definitely be prayed over. So with that, would you open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. As we begin this service, Genesis chapter 1, if you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. In the seat back in front of you, there is a Bible somewhere. You can grab that one. You can look on with your friend. If there's no one sitting next to you, then you can follow along with me, but there's a Bible somewhere around you definitely that you can keep up. And we're in Genesis chapter 1 as we begin our service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for this incredible opportunity to gather here and to worship and to be among other believers, Lord, to just have a time of fellowship midway through the week, kind of a refill as we gather and worship and also study your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we do that, as we go through your word, verse by verse, as we're about to do in this Bible study type of setting, we pray that you would be with us, that your spirit would move amongst us. Your word says that only through the Holy Spirit are we even able to understand these things. And so we pray that your spirit would move so that we could, after all, expand our understanding as our mission states. We pray that you would be with every person here as we dive into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Your Bible, the thing we are here to study tonight, if you counted up all the verses in your Bible, you would find 31,103 verses or so, depending on your translation. The King James Version, 31,103. Some other translations, it might be slightly different, but it's basically that number. 23,000 of those are found in the Old Testament, while about 8,000 or so are found in the New Testament. Your Bible consists of 66 books written by 40 plus authors, all guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, over a time frame of something like 1,400 years, using four different languages: Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and Latin. And all of that starts in the book of Genesis. That is the beginning of our Bible. And it's fitting that it's the beginning of our Bible because the word Genesis means beginning. And so it is even more fitting that the beginning of the book of beginnings starts with "in the beginning." We understand that this Bible holds within it the infallible, inerrant word of God, and that we are called to study that word. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Not to let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate it on it day and night, being careful to do all that is according to it." And so we understand that the Bible is not only God's word, but he wants us to study his word. We also understand that through the study of the Bible, we can grow in our faith. And growth for a Christian is not an option, it's a mandate, it's a command. We are commanded by Jesus, by God, by the Word, to grow in our faith. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we are here to hear and to read the very Word of God. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So we understand we're supposed to grow. We understand that we grow through the study of the Word and through the Holy Spirit giving us the understanding of that Word. And that is what we are here to do, to study the Bible. And we start in the beginning, in the book of Genesis. No other book in the history of the world has caused more debate, more division, more controversy than the book of Genesis. And I say that because Genesis not only causes division between the church and the world, which by its very nature does not support the biblical view of creation, but it also causes division, it seems, within the church. Christians, by and large, are somewhat hesitant to understand or affirm or state as fact some of the things in Genesis, simply because a lot of people don't understand what's in there. They don't know what it says. They don't know what it means. And so that's what we're here to study. Because my personality is one that says, if this is the most controversial book, then that's the one I want to look at. I want to see what God actually said. I want to see what he meant. I want to study this word. I want to magnify this, blow it up so I can see all the details. Because after all, there's not much agreement in the outside world. So I go straight to the text, as we will do here. The book of Genesis, as I said, is a book of beginnings, and it is the book of beginnings. It's the book of the beginning of time, of creation. It's the beginning of sin. It's the beginning of the plan of redemption. It's the beginning of the nation of Israel. In fact, it's the beginning of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, they're all found in the book of Genesis. From Abraham eventually will come David, and from David eventually will come Jesus Christ. And so we understand that Genesis is far more than just the first book in our 66 books in the Bible. It is actually the beginning of everything we understand, the beginning of life itself, the beginning of all that we know of God, the beginning of Revelation. It is all found right here. And so with that, I invite you to look into your book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Go back to the fourth word and stop there. In the beginning, God. As you read through your Bible, you will come across some incredible stories. The story of creation is one of the most incredible stories, but aside from that, you will come across the story of Moses at the Red Sea and how the Red Sea parted for the nation of Israel. If you back up into Genesis, you come to Noah and the ark and the great flood. If you move forward to the wars and in the book of Joshua and how they were conquering the land of Canaan, you find that when they marched around the city of Jericho, on the seventh day when they blew the trumpets and the walls of Jericho came crashing down, that is an incredible story. If you keep going, you come to Judges and you find a man named Samson with superhuman strength, able to bring down buildings with his bare hands. If you keep on going, you come to the story of the Immaculate Conception, the virgin birth of Christ, where the Holy Spirit himself impregnates a virgin named Mary, giving us our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you read of all the miracles that he does in his earthly ministry, turning water into wine. He healed the infirmed. He gave sight to the blind. He rose the dead. He calmed the sea. He walked on water and then ultimately rose himself from the dead and ascended into heaven. If you move into the book of Acts, you will find the apostles did miracles of healing and prophecy, things that nobody had ever seen before. If you keep on going to the end of the Bible, you'll come to the book of Revelation, where it talks about end time prophecy and how things are going to turn out. You'll find an epic battle between Jesus and Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist, ultimately where Jesus defeats them at the Battle of Armageddon. You'll read of the new heaven and the new earth and the rapture of the church. And all of that to say that in the Bible there are incredible stories. There are stories that are, quite frankly, hard to grasp. They're hard to understand. And when the world gets a hold of some of these stories, they say, it's impossible. There's no way a man rose from the dead. There's no way there was a global flood and only a few people survived with a couple of each animal. There's just no way that a man was swallowed by a fish in the case of Jonah. There's no way that water actually turned into wine. There's no way that a cripple stood up and walked. There's no way that the rapture will actually happen. The world gets a hold of these stories and they say there's no way. And because of that, it influences the Christian church. And then believers start asking themselves the same question. Is it even possible? And so I come back to the first line of the book of beginnings, in the beginning, God. Because I'll tell you what, if you can accept that God existed in the beginning, in other words, he existed prior to the beginning. And because he existed prior to the beginning, he is therefore outside of everything we understand to be laws of nature and laws of physics, and the stuff that we judge what is possible and impossible by. Jesus, by the way, said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If you can accept that in the beginning was God, and he is therefore outside of the realm of the laws we live by, because he not only created them, but he has authority over them. If we can swallow in the beginning God, then the rest becomes easy. The rest is cake. Because if God isn't bound by what we understand is possible or impossible, then it's nothing for him to part a sea or to raise someone from the dead or to give sight to the blind or any of the incredible things we read about or the incredible miracles we read about in the Bible. And so if you can get to in the beginning God and you're still on board, then I will tell you the rest of the Bible is a lot easier to get a hold of. If you have kids, you understand this principle well. Because as parents, we create rules for our children that don't apply to us. In our home, our kids have a rule that says at about 8 or 8:30 they go to bed. And I wish that rule applied to me. I would love to be in bed by 8 or 8:30, but unfortunately, that rule doesn't apply to me. And other rules that we create for our children don't apply to the parents or the creator. And therefore, we understand the rules of nature, the laws that we are governed by, do not govern the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was a story of a man who learned everything there was to know. He became the smartest man in the history of the world, and his head swelled with pride. He got to be so intelligent that he could do the miracles of the Bible himself. And so he would regularly move mountains, and he would part water. And one day he got it in his mind that he would challenge God to a test to see who was better. And so God humored him and accepted the challenge, and the man asked God, what shall we start with? And God said, well, what about water into wine? That was, you know, my first earthly ministry miracle. Let's start with that. The guy goes, cake, I do it all the time. Here you go. And so God said, all right, what about parting a sea? That was a big one, and the man said, I can do that, and he did it. And so God said, I know. And he picked up a clump of dirt, and he blew into it, and he went, and out came a man. And the man standing there said, oh, I can do that. And he picked up a clump of dirt, and right before he would blow into it, God stopped him and said, you're cheating, you need to get your own dirt. The point is, God is the creator of everything we see, all the way down to the molecules of dirt. And that's exactly what the word created means. It means created out of nothing, that there was no pre-existing material. In the Hebrew language, the word created is actually the word bara, if you want to jot that down, B-A-R-A, and it means created out of nothing. The author of Hebrews even says in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And so we understand that God not only is the creator of everything, but he created everything out of nothing. And he did it through his spoken word. In other words, in Latin, that would be called ex nihilo. Through his spoken word, ex nihilo, God created, bara, out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. Now, science would say the Big Bang created everything. If you were to read scientific journals, you would find that in all actuality, science and the Bible agree on a lot. For example, the Big Bang will say that at a point in time that was so infinitesimally small and in the past, it can't be measured, there was absolutely nothing. And then out of absolutely nothing, there was a spontaneous burst of energy, and from that burst came everything we see. The Bible basically says the same thing, that there was nothing, and then there was an action, and then there was everything we see. Where they differ is in the agent, the one who created it, the one who caused it to happen. Science says we have no idea what caused the Big Bang. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You should also know that science, by its initial nature, I should say, by its original nature, is not hostile to Scripture. Science is simply observing what is around us and coming to an understanding about it. And in fact, I would go so far as to say it's biblical to do that very thing, because in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out." And so God has created things that we don't yet understand, things that need to be searched out and need to be understood, things that need to be observed, and things that need to have conclusions drawn about them. And so it isn't unbiblical or unchristian to have a scientific view. It has to do with your perception, with your lens. Are you looking at it from a lens of the world or a lens of the Bible? Because the truth is, the evidence is what the evidence is. Everyone agrees that originally there was nothing, and then there was something. The difference is what caused it. Our Bible, the book of beginnings, says, in the beginning, God caused it all. Back in the 19th century, there was a British scientist by the name of Herbert Spencer. This is just another point to how science and the Bible actually agree, even though science won't admit it. Herbert Spencer came up with this categorization of everything physical. Everything in the known universe can be categorized into one of five categories: time, force, action, space, and matter. Whatever you see in the physical world can be categorized into one of those five areas. Well, the Bible accounts for every one of them in the first 10 words. In the beginning, there's time. God, there's force. Created, there's action. Heavens, there's space. And earth, we have our matter. And so science and the Bible aren't necessarily at odds. It depends on how we understand the conclusions. It depends on how we look at the evidence. Just a side note. It has been said that if you open your Bible, there is a red thread that runs from the beginning, Genesis 1:1, all the way through to the end, and that red thread is Jesus Christ. That no matter where you open your Bible to, you can find him. That he is present on every page, in every chapter. You cannot get away from the presence of Christ. And I have spoken with people who say that when they came to faith and they had heard of Jesus and they started reading their Bible and going through it chapter by chapter and book by book, that they realized they were reading about Jesus long before they even got to the New Testament. He is there. He is present. He is the agent of creation. He is the agent of victory in the end times in the book of Revelation. And so some people would ask, why bother studying the Old Testament? After all, isn't it an old book and we're New Testament believers and get into a gospel and stay in the gospel? This is why. Because Jesus is present in every single chapter, including the very first one and the very first verse. In the Gospel of John, it says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes down to verse 14, and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is our Lord, our Savior. He is the incarnation of the Word of God, and He is the agent of cause in the beginning. He's the one that caused it all to happen. We understand the Old Testament to be that very thing for us, a way to look at Christ in action before the New Testament. It's an illustration of what Jesus can do in our life. In fact, Paul even writes in Romans chapter 15, whatever is written in the former days was written for our instruction that we might have hope. There's a red ribbon of Jesus Christ, and it runs from Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it goes all the way through the book of Revelation to the word Amen. He is everywhere on every page. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And we will get to that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time together, for this opportunity to gather and to study your word, to really dig into it, to grab the truths out of it that you've placed in there. We give you all the praise, Lord, that you give us a Savior who is so prominent and so present in every page, in every chapter, in every book that we have in Scripture. He is a Savior that can be studied no matter where we open our Bibles, even in the beginning. We pray, Lord, that as we go from here, that you would be with us, that you would guide us, and that you would bless us as you make us blessings for other people. We pray that we would be lights for you in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can ask you to rise as we close our first Magnify service.
Where your streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name.
Oh, everybody sing.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Everybody, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
One more time.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for this time together. John, go ahead.
I just pray that as we go from here, Lord, you just bless the rest of our week, Lord.
Yes,
I pray,
Lord,
that we will take the words of tonight, the words that you spoke through Pastor Connell, Lord, and I pray that we will live those words out, that we will recognize you, Lord, in everything that we do, everything that comes to us, Lord. I pray that you will bless everyone's travels, safe travels home, and I pray that you will bless everyone's the rest of the week. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey.